Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We are always so glad you're here to kick off another week with some fun Disney talk. And as it is a Monday, we're getting ready to sit down with listener Teresa to talk about a great Disney adventure. That's what we do here on Mondays. It's a great way to start the week and head into work in the right mindset. Before we get to Teresa, don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. I just returned from Walt Disney World, and I can tell you that the crowds are much more manageable with your information you get with your premium subscription to touringplans.com. It lets me know the night before to decide which park is going to be the best place to go. And then once I get to that park, I can see real accurate wait times on the app. I can make great choices. I can even customize a touring plan on the fly to see the most amount of attractions possible and then get back for my nap. You can do the same. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. Also, support the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. Just use our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you shop online, it really does help support the show. You get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. Just please bookmark it on your desktop, your mobile devices, your tablets, and use it often. It's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1511 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And sadly, back here in St. Louis, Missouri, but you can't complain. We had a great time on the Be Our Guest Podcast cruise and our trip down to Walt Disney World. Lots more coming up on that this week. But for right now, we have a trip report to get your week started the right way. And today we're headed up to Michigan, which I now know because of my good buddy Scott that lives up there. It's the Mitten. We have Teresa joining us. Teresa, how's the Mitten treating you today?
Ah, the Mitten's warm, thank goodness, Mike. We've had some dreary days, but it's finally warming up. It finally feels like July.
Glad to hear it, because I know it can be rough up there, because I complain here in the Midwest, and I look up there, and I'm like, oof, that's just not even right.
Oh, yeah. Long winters, and the summers are too short.
And you wonder why people from Michigan love Walt Disney World in Florida. It's because you got to get out of there.
Oh, for sure.
All right. For sure. So we have a great trip to talk about today. We're going to head down to Walt Disney World split stay. We're going to talk French Quarter. We're going to talk Animal Kingdom Lodge. We're going to talk a lot about the extra things you can do on your Disney vacation outside of just going on Expedition Everest or sitting through Carousel of Progress and taking a nap like I do. You know, we're going to talk about some of these really cool extras, which I'm super excited about. So before we get started, Teresa, kind of give us your background. Why are you such a Disney fan? Why is Disney so important to you?
Yeah, actually, it's an interesting story. My son, who is now very healthy and doing wonderfully, but when he was 3 years old, they discovered that he had a congenital heart defect. And at the time, when they discovered it, they decided that they wouldn't perform, he had to have open heart surgery, and they decided that they wouldn't perform that open heart surgery until he was four, because four-year-olds actually had a higher survival rate than three-year-olds. So we had an entire year of waiting for this surgery. And so one of the things that we talked about as a family is we wanted something to look forward to after the surgery, something that we could concentrate on and plan. And sure enough, we decided that we would plan a trip to Disney World. So we took that year, and I have to say it was a challenging year. We were nervous and we were anxious for the surgery to be over, but we took that year to plan our trip to Disney. And I have to say, Mike, it was wonderful to concentrate on something when we got a little sad or a little scared about things to come. We concentrated on the magic of Disney. And sure enough, 6 months after his surgery, we then headed down to Disney World. And it was a recovery. It was a, family coming together time. And it was incredibly magical. And ever since then, my son is now 22. So ever since he was 4 years old, we have been in love with Disney, and it's always brought back wonderful, wonderful memories of comfort and enjoy it every time we go down.
Well, you know, again, this is why I love these Monday shows because, you know, well, besides Ricky's not here. No, just kidding. I love Ricky, but it's one of those things like, you know, you learn something from our listeners every time. And I, you know, the way I think about this, that's such a touching story because having not only the trip, but the anticipation of getting there, rallying together, talking about what you're going to do, where you're going to eat, what you want to, you know, where you're going to stay, stuff like that. It's kind of like, I guess I would consider that a very positive distraction in a rough time during your life.
It was incredibly, and that's exactly how it would go. And you know, we would acknowledge that we're sad and we're scared, and but then we would talk about it. How about working on our plans for Disney? And it really was a bright light for us that entire time.
Yeah, so
it really was something for us to focus on that we were very happy about.
And I'd imagine going back now each and every time, it's just like, you know, it kind of reminds you of, you know, this triumphant story, you know, because it sounded like you didn't know, you know, you just with things like that, that's serious. I mean, I would be just scared to death, but it sounds like it turned around for the best. And now it's like, hey, it's kind of a celebration every time you return.
It is. That's exactly how it is for us. We're so incredibly grateful for the opportunity. We are incredibly grateful for just Disney World in general. The cast members were and always have been phenomenal. And it was, it brought us together as a family, and it was a source of comfort. And yes, you're absolutely right. Every time we go back, it brings back those wonderful memories of what Disney has done for us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Each and every time we go.
Here we go. It's Monday morning, boy. You already got 5 minutes in and you're ready, boy. This is the good, this is like the positive stuff. I love this. All right. So let's talk about that recent trip you took just a couple of months ago. When'd you guys go down? Where'd you stay? Stuff like that.
Yes, certainly. Our trip dates were May 14th through the 21st. We left on the 22nd. And we decided to go down during that time because it was a sister trip. So I actually had my two sisters with me. And it was originally going to be just the three of us. But of course, then the family finds out we're going. And they're like, well, we would like to go. So it ended up being my two sisters, myself, my niece, my daughter, and my daughter's fiance that all went down. So there were six of us total. And we came up with this idea on my sister's birthday, which was in February. And we planned it for, in fact, I tell everyone, we planned it for 444 days. That was our countdown initially from the time that we came up with the idea. And we had a blast doing it. So, you know, the sisters would get on the phone together and or we would email back and forth. We would share videos and we had an awesome time planning it.
Again, it sounds like for you especially, the planning is just as much a part of the experience of a Disney vacation as the trip itself.
Oh, incredibly so. And I have to say, I just, you know, I went nuts on the podcast. I am all caught up on all of your podcasts. They were incredibly helpful. I definitely binge listened to all the podcasts. I had a great time, and I was, you know, listening 3 days a week as soon as a new one would come out. So they were also extremely helpful. I also got my sisters hooked on them. So
well, tell your sisters I said thank you. And I in the email, I love how you emailed us. And your dog Joey, tell Joey that I said thanks for listening to on the walks. I'm a big fan of dogs.
Oh, I will. Mike, I swear to you, and I'm not just saying this, when I have the podcast on the car and Joey's in the car with me, he gets really quiet and he listens. It's just fun.
I'm the dog whisperer.
And on the long walk, too.
All righty. Well, Joey, I'll get you a bone sometime. All right. Anyhow,
thanks.
So just talk us through what happened on the trip. Because, again, a couple months ago, tell us about what you learned. What did you think of the two resorts, French Quarter, Animal Kingdom Lodge? Give us a quick review.
Sure. So French Quarter, one of the reasons why I chose it is because my sister loves New Orleans and it did not disappoint. I have to say that I fell in love with French Quarter and I've always heard you mention that was one of your favorites, I think, that in Riverside. And I absolutely understand why. It was very quaint. It was themed beautifully. It was it was small enough to where you could walk very quickly anywhere that you wanted to go, either to the lobby or to, you know, the floatworks or to the pool. And I just absolutely love French Quarters. And one of the things that I really liked about it is that it has the boat that goes into Disney Springs. We use that several times. And I have to do a shout out to Touring Plans, one of your sponsors, because I actually utilized them and their services and requested a room through Touring Plans, and they gave me exactly the room that I wanted. So I had the view right on the river and right near the boat launch and right next to the pool. We love French Quarter. Absolutely loved it.
By those three descriptive terms, I know exactly where your room was. If you could see the river, the pool, and by the boat launch, I know pretty close to where you were staying.
And you're right there.
Because the resort's not that big. That's the greatest thing about this resort. Transportation's nice because there's only one bus stop, and it is. It's kind of like Riverside, same thing for me. Both. It's kind of like, especially right at sunrise. I mean, it's like walking through a postcard. It really does take you to a different place.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And, Mike, I went on a run on that run around Riverside and French Quarter, because you had recommended that trail, that running path. It's great. It was just beautiful at sunrise.
I love it. Yeah, the only thing I have is that at the French Quarter end, down by Building 1, I have to go out into the parking lot and kind of do a little loop back into the rooms there, you know, one of the other buildings. But that's I've made my own running path. I go out past the laundry collection area and then come back in and head back to Riverside. But, yeah, I love that resort. The food is so good. And so you guys took advantage of the food court at some point?
Oh, my gosh. That's one of the first places that we went after we checked in. We went to Sassagoula Floatworks. It was tremendous. I personally love the shrimp and grits. Woo, mm-hmm. So good. And we also picked up the beignet per your recommendation. And I will tell you, Mike, I think we died, went to heaven. The beignets are certainly worth it.
Yes.
In fact, later on, we went back and we got the beignets that have the little alcohol shots that go in them. And those were even better than the other ones. So we enjoyed beignets a couple of times.
The naughty beignets.
Yeah.
That's what you call it.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right, so much to talk about, though. So our French Quarter did well. Now, I know that you gave me some notes as to what you were expecting to do. You emailed me before you went down. We got this on the books, which is a great idea, as long as our wait is.
Thank you.
But you had, like, you were going to see Yeehaw Bob. You wanted to do carriage rides at Riverside. Did you take advantage of any of that kind of stuff when it actually happened when you were there?
We did, actually. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see Yeehaw Bob. I have to be honest with you. That was planned for our first day, and we were up to 3:45 a.m. to catch a flight, so I had some very tired sisters on my hands. So, but we did get in a carriage ride, and that was delightful. You know, we enjoyed our horse, and they walked us through the Riverside and French Quarter, and it was delightful. We really enjoyed I highly recommend the horse-drawn carriage that you can pick up at Riverside.
I love seeing it, and I love actually hearing it. I think that even if they didn't give rides on the carriages, just when you hear that clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop around,
clip-clop.
You know, Riverside,
it is.
I mean, you talk about theming, like, that's the sound. Like, you know, that's like, oh, that's Riverside. There's a horse walking by. I got to do that. Maybe I'll try to do that with my wife here when we go. Well, we're actually back. We're recording this a little early, so maybe I'll let you know if it happened as we get down the road here.
It's so relaxing.
All right.
Yeah, it's so relaxing. You'll really enjoy it.
So
yeah.
Now you also stayed. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
We took the boat into Disney Springs that first day as well. In fact, the weather for us was phenomenal the entire time. It rained once while we were down there, and that was on our first day. And it actually rained at the best opportune time because we took a nap during the hour that it was thundering and lightning, and we woke up after an hour and the sun was back out and we were back at the pool. So we got to enjoy the pool that first day at French Quarter. And then we hopped on the boat and took it into Disney Springs. We did a little shopping there. We went to Frontera Cocina.
Yes.
Because my niece she loves Mexican food. That's the one thing she said. She said, I would love a Mexican meal. So we chose Frontera Cocina at Disney Springs. And I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
I believe so.
But
sounds good to me.
Fabulous food. I mean, sincerely, excellent Mexican food. I would highly recommend it. And then we took the boat back and we did the horse-drawn carriage and we called it a night.
That's a good night. Yeah, I'm a fan of Frontier Cochina too. I don't know if I'm saying it right either, but it's great Mexican food. But there's with Disney Springs nowadays, there's so many good places to eat that I ate there during a media event a few years back, and there's so many places. Every time I go there, there's two or three new places I got to try. So it's hard to get around to like your second time. You know, like I want to try every place once, and I haven't made my second round yet because I don't get down there enough. So I'm glad to hear you guys had a good experience with that.
It's hard to decide. Yeah. I mean, I love Wine Bar George. Oh my gosh.
Haven't done it. Yeah.
Seriously, one of my very favorite places.
Gotta do it. I mean, because I love it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say with Wine Bar George, when we stopped in there, George himself, Melotus, was actually in there waiting on customers and he brought us a wine flight. And I have to say, I fangirled all over him. I was just so excited and so thrilled. And I said, I'm so honored that you're waiting on us. And he said, well, I'm so honored that you're here. So it was really nice. It was fun.
That's super cool. I wouldn't know who he is, but I'm just saying like that. That is awesome. Like if Morimoto came and talked to me over at his restaurant, I wouldn't know. I'm just like, oh, okay. I don't know. That's cool though that they're there and they're invested. So, okay, I want to make sure we get all these great details in these stories. So you guys also stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So tell us about that experience, because again, one of the best and most uniquely Disney experiences you can have.
Amazing. And we had studio rooms that were on the savannah. So we walked into one of our rooms. We had two rooms. We walked into one of our rooms and there were two giraffes standing, you know, right outside of our window. And my sisters and my niece looked at me and they said, you've got to be kidding. I mean, they knew we were going to be staying on the savannah, but it was just picturesque. I mean, it was like we just were on safari. It was that was one of the best moments, to see my sister's faces when we walked in and saw those two giraffes outside of their sliding glass door.
You know, and I'll say too, from staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge a few times myself, and we always stay in Jumbo because we're not DVC, but I think that, and I've heard this from lots of guests that have come on the show as well, that you have to be almost... not expecting, but prepared for the fact that, especially if you have kids, when you wake up in the morning and you're ready to try to hit rope drop at the studios, you're trying to, you know, get to the Magic Kingdom by 9 o'clock or something like that, then a lot of times when you wake up, it is so amazing as the savannah wakes up and the animals come to life and they're very active in the early morning, that sometimes it's really hard to leave your hotel room to go to the theme parks because it's that neat.
Yeah,
you got to be ready.
It's very distracting.
Yeah, because you don't want to leave the giraffe. Agreed. You're like, oh man, there's giraffe, there's wildebeest, there's, you know, these, you know, whatever that, you know, like the impalas, you know, it's just, it's so fun. And it, again, you almost got to rub your eyes like, is this real? Like they're that close. You can almost touch them. And I was worried you were going to say there were two giraffe. When you walked in, there were two giraffe in the shower. You know, that would have been weird. So I was like, okay, good. They're on the savannah. Good.
No.
It's getting a little worried. Now, you also mentioned that you were a little worried with doing a split stay has advantages and disadvantages like anything. And you said that there were some planning struggles or challenges. We should just say challenges, because when you're doing ADRs and you had the Disney dining plan and fast passes and so forth. So give us a little primer on how that worked out for you.
Certainly. So one of the challenges was the dining plan. So we wanted the dining plan for both when we were at French Quarter and when we were at Animal Kingdom Lodge. So the only challenging part there was it was two separate dining plans, and we actually had to use all of our credits by midnight that Thursday when we checked out of French Quarter. So we had to use 2 days worth of credits all in those 2 days, because that was one dining plan. And then the next dining plan started when we checked into Animal Kingdom Lodge. So it ended up working out beautifully. I do highly recommend the dining plan. We kind of did a sample of what we would have spent, and it looks like we would have come out about $100 either way, either saving $100 or going over a tad by maybe $100. But the convenience of it was fantastic. We were grabbing some snacks at the very end, but that was our fault. We were hoarding them at the very beginning, so I don't, you know, really recommend that, because you're gonna be grabbing snacks your last day. But other than that, we used all of our table services. We used all of our counter services. We were very pleased with the dining plan. Having a split stay made that a tad more challenging, but I wouldn't have done it differently.
You know, you got to be cracking up, because I'm exactly the same way when we have the dining plan. I'm like a snack credit hoarder where, you know, like early in the package, I'll say, yeah, I'll just pay for that out of pocket because I want to save that snack credit. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, but I'm always like, yeah, well, I could probably get a snack that's maybe 50 cents more later. You know, like, I'm always thinking, I want to make sure I get all that value out of that snack credit. Yeah. And then what happens is, like you say, like, we're getting ready to leave in like 2 days or, you know, that day. And it's like, all right, get some Intamin's donuts, get some, you know, grab a bag of pretzels. You know, it's like, we should have used these throughout the stay. But yeah, I'm a hoarder with those things too. I get it. That's
funny. The other thing I was concerned about with the split stay that did not come to fruition was the issues with the luggage. So that was actually very easy for us. In the early morning at French Quarter, the day that we were checking out, we simply took our baggage down to the lobby area, to the concierge, or to the bellhop, actually. And all we did was we told him where we were going to be that evening, and they completely took care of it. And we had a full day at the parks that day, so we didn't arrive at Animal Kingdom until 9 o'clock that night before, but our luggage was already there. We were all set. There were no issues whatsoever.
Oh, so good to hear. They got my sneakers to me one time. I was doing a split over marathon weekend, which is, don't do a split over marathon weekend. I'm just telling all of our runners, because I put my running sneakers in my suitcase, and it was going just from Pop Century to Beach Club, and it took like 12 hours. And I'm thinking, I need my sneakers. I want to go to bed. So anyway, yeah, just don't chance it, or just bring your sneakers with you. That's what I should have done. But yeah, it works out. I mean, we do splits all the time. It's fine. It was just, you know, I was trying to go to bed at, you know, 8 o'clock. So let me ask you a couple of things. So you guys did the Caring for Giants tour. So the tour over at Animal Kingdom with the elephants. How's that?
We did, and actually it was extremely informative. I'll say that we unfortunately had a situation where the elephants were hiding from us, and they really said, I think they're hiding, because they were back in the trees away. So we didn't get to see the elephants a lot, but the information that they gave us and the backstage tour was super nice. I mean, you know, we got to see the areas where some of the play happens with the elephants, and it was very informative, and because the elephants were hiding on us a little bit, the staff were really kind, and they gave us fast passes to the safari, so we were able to go on safari again and see the animals all over again. So we were completely fine with it, because we enjoyed the conversation and the information that we had, and seeing kind of the behind the scenes with the elephants. We got to see a little bit of the elephants, but they were hiding. We got to see an ear and a tail here and there. But, so the Caring for Giants, I do highly recommend it. It's one of the more reasonable tours, certainly. I think I only paid $30, I think, per person. But I think it was certainly well worth it, even though we only got bits and pieces of the elephants.
That's funny. I mean, they are animals, and they can, you know, they have their own free will. So I guess if they're not in the mood to be on display.
Yeah, I was very happy to see that they don't force them to do anything they don't want to do.
That's true.
They didn't want to be seen that day.
I mean, there's days I don't want to get out of bed either. I get it, you know. So unfortunately, I have to. But yeah, that's just me. Now, again, I'm going from your list of things you were hoping to do. Did you guys get to do that dining with an animal specialist over at Sanaa? Did that take place?
Oh, my gosh. Mike. So my sisters and my niece, my daughter, and all talked about it. That was truly another one of our highlights. I mean, if we could identify like five highlights, that would certainly be in the top three. The animal specialist, first of all, the food at Sanaa is fantastic. They do, you get a sampling of a lot of different things, and they started you out with a soup, you know, an appetizer. And then we went to the main course. For lunch, we had a couple of different, you know, like smaller type of plates where you could try two different types of courses. And then they had dessert, and the food is just excellent. And to be honest, I was a bit concerned, because a couple of my family members aren't very adventurous, but everyone raved about the food. The animal specialist that sat with us, he was an incredible wealth of knowledge, and he honestly knew every animal on that savanna like the back of his hand. I mean, and he would even say, "Oh, there's, you know, Walter," or whatever the animal's name was.
He's making that stuff up. That isn't Walter. Every animal's Walter. Yeah. Like tomorrow, that'll be Fred.
And he would tell us funny stories about, he's kind of a crotchety old guy, but, you know, he doesn't really like to be around the other zebras. But, you know, I mean, it was just really fun to hear about all of the animals that were on the savannah and their habitat and about their eating habits and their personalities and ways that they take care of them. And I highly recommend the Dieting with the Animals. That was certainly a highlight.
Yeah, I'm so glad, because, you know, when I saw this was in your kind of palette of things to do while you guys went down, that, you know, I think we're always looking for things to do outside of your typical go to the parks, ride the attractions, see the shows, eat the meals, you know, like something that you want to do on that fifth, sixth, seventh trip. And I think somebody like Disney can put things like this together where it's educational, but it's also a very nice dining experience. And at the same time, it's very much entertainment. You know, because you're getting stories, you're getting an insider VIP feel. So, you know, these don't happen a lot. So I think you got to seek things like this out. But I mean, just like that animal specialist, these tours, I would imagine that this is one of the, you know, things you came home and you're like, wow, you know, this really separated this trip from all the rest.
Exactly. And these were both items. You know, my daughter and I have been to Disney several times, as you know, since that first trip with my son after his surgery. And these were two things that we had never done before. And actually, the horse-drawn carriage is something that we had never done. So I tried to incorporate little things that everyone would like. And then also some new, you know, experiences for us. So that worked out really well.
So did everybody go to everything together? Like all these, you know, tours and the meals, did you guys all stick together? Did anybody kind of venture out on their own in, like, you know, smaller groups?
Well, my daughter and her fiance actually joined us one day later. So we flew down on Tuesday. They joined us on Wednesday evening, but we were staying at French Quarter, and they decided to stay at All-Star Movies. So they had one night at All-Star Movies, and then they transferred to Animal Kingdom Lodge with us. And so they did a couple of things on their own. And also my sisters and I and my niece got 5-day park hoppers, whereas my daughter and her fiance only had 3-day park hoppers. So there were times where they enjoyed, you know, going to the pool, or they went to Disney Springs a couple more times than we did. So we didn't stay together all the time, but for the big events like the Dining with the Animal Specialist and the Caring for Giants, we did those all together.
That's cool. And you know what? I hate to say this, but as I'm thinking about one group having 3-day tickets, another group having 5-day tickets, in some instances, mm-hmm. the people with the 3-day tickets end up winning, because what that makes you do, we had to do this one time before a cruise. We didn't have tickets at all, but we were driving to Miami and we stopped in at Walt Disney World for 2 nights and stayed at Art of Animation. No tickets. So it forced us to have, like, we didn't have tickets to go to the park. So we had to have a pool day. We had to go play putt-putt. We had to go to Disney Springs. You know what? That was like the greatest 48 hours, because there was no pressure. We were not running anywhere. It was amazing.
Yeah. You know, we met up with them later that night and they're like, "We're so relaxed. We've had a great time. We've watched the animals. We went down the slide on the pool." You know, I mean, it sounds like they had a phenomenal time.
Yeah, no, the whole time I thought, "Oh man, this is going to be terrible being here for 2 nights and not being able to go to the parks." And I remember I looked at my wife like, you know, like, God, this is, we never do this. Like we do it like for like, we'll go to the pool for 2 hours. Just so we can say we had pool time. You know, we didn't waste our day and not go to the pool. This time we stayed out at the pool for like 6 hours and just read a book. And then, you want to go get something to eat at Disney Springs? Well, why not? We'll get on a bus, you know. So don't discount the pool days and the downtime at Walt Disney World. That can be some of the best. So let me ask you this. So another thing you had on here, and I hope it took place. Did you guys get to eat over at Wilderness Lodge with Snow White? That's exciting.
We did. Artist Point, yes. We had a really... I think it's one of the it's only one credit on Disney Dining Plan. And I was really surprised by that. I thought for sure it was two, but it is only one. I will say that the queen, and she does not prefer to be called the Wicked Queen. She will correct you. She was always in character. You go up to her and you take pictures, but she was really entertaining, but very stern with us. And for example, I said to my daughter, I'm like, oh, she really is very pretty. And she looked at me and she said, she can hear you. she said for us to come over to take pictures with us. And she said, but the queen walks first. So she would walk ahead of us and then we would take pictures together. It was very entertaining to meet her.
That's cool. So,
and then of course,
let me ask
Snow White was wonderful, as were the dwarfs.
So, sorry to interrupt, but I'm just curious. Like, so was this... I haven't been here yet, so I do want to... I'm glad you went. Is it chaotic? I mean, because it just sounds like there's a lot of... And I guess Chef Mickey's is chaos. Is it crazy? Because, I mean, Artist Point was such a chill, upscale, out-of-the-way restaurant. And now I just can't picture, like, how the transition of the vibe is.
Oh, actually, well, they've redecorated, so it definitely looks like you're walking into a forest. Which makes it actually, it's very calming. I find it very peaceful in there, to be honest. In addition to that, they do bring, it's a three-course meal. They bring appetizers, then your entrees, and then your dessert. Everyone gets the same appetizers. Everyone gets the same dessert, and then you order your entree. And so everyone got to pretty much try the same things with the exception of the entrees, but we all shared those anyway. And I didn't find it chaotic at all. We there were two dwarfs that came through, Grumpy and Dopey, both came through, and they were very entertaining and very much in character. And then Snow White also was delightful. They would come to your table, and then you could take pictures with them at your table. The only time you walked through the restaurant was to go take your picture with the queen. So I didn't find it chaotic. I actually found it quite relaxing.
Oh, that's good to hear. Because I want to experience this one. Like you said, on the dining plan, sounds like a great use of your credit. And I've heard the food's pretty good too, which is, I mean, always a bonus. I mean, I think a lot of times you're there for the experience, but you don't want to be disappointed by the food either.
Right. No, we were all, very happy with our meal.
So let me ask you one other thing about dining. Then I want to get into just a couple memories about, times in the parks. But you just had a crazy, good selection of restaurants you're going to eat. You went to the Floatworks. You had on your ADR list, mm-hmm. Be Our Guest, Garden Grill, Sci-Fi, Crystal Palace, Setuli, Nomad Lounge, Brown Derby Lounge, Frontier Cochina. You guys did a lot. So any other things that really stood out you want to share with the audience? Maybe something that people need to consider when it comes to dining that you maybe learned on this trip?
So we really enjoyed GECO at Animal Kingdom Lodge. I think that might have been everyone's favorite. So it is two credits, so we had to, account for that. But it really is a phenomenal meal and phenomenal service. So that was one of the favorites. I will say that we went to Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater, which is another place that I had never been before in all my trips. I had never been. And I took my family in there because my oldest sister is 17 years older than I am. And when I was little, she would take me to the drive-ins with her. I would put on my pajamas. She put us in the back seat, and we would go to the drive-in. So I remember that from when I was really young. And so I decided that that's why I was going to take my sister there. And they actually loved the theming. They loved the atmosphere. They thought, they all raved about it when they walked out. I have to be honest, the food was okay. It wasn't certainly bad. I don't think that Sci-Fi Dine-In deserves all the bad reviews that it gets. Our meal was good. It wasn't on the caliber of like an Artist Point or a GECO's or Sanaa or anything like that. But it was a great experience, and I would certainly go back. Just for the experience again.
I'm right with you. I love this place, and we've gone many times. I just love the atmosphere. I've never been to a drive-in in my life other than this restaurant. We just didn't have them in St. Louis that much. But, if you get a hamburger, a shake, and some fries, it's fine. Like, it's not going to be, you know, some signature meal, but what it, you know, just get a burger, fries and a shake and watch some, you know, old trailers from like the 50s, you know, old sci-fi stuff and have a good time. I'm eating in the back of a car. That's great. I love that place.
It was so fun.
I mean, a hamburger, it's fine. All right, so we have a few minutes left, and we haven't even gotten into the parks. We had so much fun talking about all this extra stuff. But you guys went around, and you have the four theme parks at your disposal. What do you remember, especially going with, you know, it started off with, you know, a tighter group, and it kind of expanded out just a little, but all family. So what memories did you bring home with you? Like, any special things that happened?
Well, I will say that our first morning, it was just the four of us, my two sisters, my niece and I, and we started out at Hollywood Studios. And I'm a rope dropper, Mike. That's my jam. I always want to be rope dropping. So we rope dropped Slinky Dog Dash at Hollywood Studios. And I have to be honest, my niece and my sister have never been to Disney before this. And so I talked about rope dropping and what we needed to do and how we were going to make a beeline for Slinky Dog Dash, and we were going to line up, and this is what it means to have a rope drop. My sister and my niece were a bit overwhelmed, to be perfectly honest. I mean, Slinky Dog Dash is very, very popular, right, at rope drop. And so, you know, keeping us all together and getting them through that big crowd and into that Slinky Dog Dash line, I mean, it was well worth it because we had maybe a 20-minute wait. Even at rope drop, we had maybe a 20-minute wait at Slinky Dog, but I finally got them to Slinky Dog Dash, and I looked at their eyes, and their eyes were like as big as saucers. I think they were just, you know, a little bit overwhelmed by everything that was around them. But that was kind of fun and a crazy way to start off the trip.
That's kind of like
we loved the ride.
Well, that ride's awesome. But it seems to me that's kind of like taking a kid out of the Little League fields here in Florissant, Missouri, and, you know, dropping him at Busch Stadium and saying, okay, it's the ninth inning, we're playing the Cubs, close this game out, kid. We're taking you to the big leagues right from Little League.
Exactly. And I even had to admit, I have to admit, I've done this a lot, that this was kind of an intense rope drop. So
yeah, no kidding.
They were
You didn't like rope drop Epcot or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, nice and easy. Like a soft, like, rope drop, like 11 o'clock into World Showcase. You know, ease them into the thing. You know,
right.
We're going to do this that
right.
way. No, we're going to go right at it. Let's go to Flight of Passage tomorrow. Let me ask you this, though. At the end of the trip, again, first timers, you're kind of giving them, you know, baptism by fire, as some people say. Did they buy in? Did they really like it? Were they Disney veterans by the time you guys hopped back on the plane? What was that like?
I have to say that my sister said a couple of things. They loved, loved, loved the trip, and they are now sincerely huge Disney fans. They've asked me when we're going to go back, when, you know, who are we going to take next? So they are very much up for another trip. They did, however, say to me they would never do a trip without me. They would never do a trip without someone who knows the parks and knows how to maneuver the fast passes and knows how to make the ADRs and knows. Once again, shout out to the touring plans. I used the touring plans for what rides we were going to, and we honestly never had more than a 35-minute wait. And I think we had a 35-minute wait on Big Thunder Mountain only because it was delayed while we were standing in line. So I had it down where we were going for the shortest amount of waits. And so my sister said they absolutely want to go again, but they wouldn't go without me, you know, to help them maneuver the park. So I'm fine with that. You know, if they want to take me every time, they can take me every time.
Make yourself valuable. That's what I've always been taught in life.
You know
something that other people need to have happen, and you'll always be in demand. So I don't know if podcasting is that. I've kind of got the teaching stuff on the shelf right now. But, hey, I get what you're saying. So as we close this out, I'm going to start a new you have to drop one thing that I've been asking folks on Mondays. So we've been doing the ones over at the Magic Kingdom. I said we retired that last week, or the couple weeks that we have Matt on last week. So let me give you these three attractions at Epcot: Test Track Soarin', Spaceship Earth. You got to get rid of one; it's gone forever. Which one do you drop, and why?
I'm very sad to say I would drop Spaceship Earth.
Oh man, you're killing me! You're like my wife getting rid of Carousel of Progress.
I know. I'm so sad about that. But I do have to say, you know, I understand it is due for an upgrade. I mean, they're doing an upgrade on it.
Yes.
But Soren was another one of our highlights. That was one of my sisters. That was her absolute favorite ride of all four of the parks. We all really, really enjoyed Soren. And Test Track was super fun. And it got your blood pumping. And so I'm afraid that it would have to be Spaceship Earth.
Well, Test Track gets your blood pumping, but not as much as Rope Drop heading to Slinky Dog on your first day of your trip. So.
That's true. Yeah, no doubt.
Talk about getting it going. All right, well, yeah, I'll forgive you, even though God, I love Spaceship Earth. It's what I taught in social studies for 17 years. It's sixth grade social studies.
I do love it. But if I truly had to make a choice between the three, unfortunately, I'd have to go there.
All right, I won't hold it against you. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for carving out some time with us and really giving us some insight on both French Quarter and Animal Kingdom Lodge, and then all these special events folks can plan maybe for their summer vacations or moving forward into the fall and the winter. And always great to hear from a friend of the show. And again, tell Joey I said hello, all the sisters, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
All right. Don't forget today's show. Teresa sold it. So I'm just going to tell you, touringplans.com. Save you up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation. It is tried. It is true. It works. For the cost of a couple of Mickey bars, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Again, support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. We appreciate that so very much. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits, costs you nothing extra. And it's just a simple way to support the show, costing you nothing extra. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, we have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. And we'll be back again on Wednesday. We always have three shows a week. And on Wednesdays, we answer your listener questions. So for Teresa, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. But it's time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.